You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome, everyone, back to another JP Show. Today it's an exciting thing. We're actually trying something a bit different. Me and Rabbi Levy are not sitting in the same room, actually, because we're creating a video. So from now on, JP will be on video. It's exciting stuff. Rabbi Levy, how are you
trying,
doing?
Trying is the word, because we'll see if this works.
You've got to experiment. That's how you do it. You've got to experiment. That's how you grow. We try new things. We make mistakes. We go back. We try again. That's life. That's the formula for life.
Absolutely.
How's your week been?
The week has been good. It's been like Ba'omer yesterday. We had a great event at night. There was a great parade during the day, which we went to. And it was just an exciting day. It was a good day.
Yeah, the nighttime bonfire was really beautiful. It was uplifting, inspiring.
Yeah.
The only problem with it is it was nighttime and it was dark. So the pictures, you know, for nowadays, everything has to be with pictures on social media. They're not so great, but the event was really beautiful.
It really was. It was. And the weather was surprisingly very good in Sydney, which is these days not to be taken for granted.
Not at all. And now we're in the stretch of preparation towards the next festival, which is Shavuot.
Well, that's correct.
The day we remember the anniversary of the giving of the Torah. But maybe we'll talk about that a bit closer. What is today's topic?
I want to discuss this. I'm not really sure actually where this is going to take us, but it's an interesting topic that I thought about this morning. And it's, I'm going to title it Lies People Tell Themselves. No, we like to think that we're all honest people. I'm sure we all try to be honest. But everyone has their, lies, maybe the harsh word. But, we sort of cover up the truth. We tell ourselves things that are not really true for various different reasons. And I think this is true on a macro level. And I think the world tells itself many lies. And on a micro level, I think we all do it in our own life to a certain degree. So I want to sort of examine where you think that happens and why do you think that happens? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Should we try being more honest? Honesty generally is a good thing. So let's see. Let's try and examine that. So I want to start off with actually a very micro example, which is interesting. Let's see where it takes us. So many times, a teacher will call up a parent and say, your child's misbehaving in school and has problems in class and all of that. And sometimes, not all parents, but some parents' reaction is, what, my child? Like, impossible. My child's always very well behaved. I don't have that problem because my children never behave at home. So I never actually, to me, actually, the other way around, I'm surprised when I hear they behave in school. But I guess.
Come on, don't beat up my grandchildren like that.
That's right.
My grandchildren.
That's right. It's impossible they failed the test. My child's a genius and all that. First of all, you've been in education for many, many years. Before you got into adult education, you were involved in more children's education on a high school level. You have a master's in education. So is this actually a true phenomenon that I'm describing? Or?
Yeah, of course. By the way, you don't need a master's of education to know that it's true. the particular example that you were quoting there is complicated because it also depends how the principal calls up and how, it depends on the whole strategy and how it works. But there definitely are. And by the way, I've seen this on both ends. I was a principal for a number of years, as you know, and I've seen it on both ends. I've seen parents who are so harsh on their children that they always make the problem worse. Not only do they agree with you, but they make it much worse, and they beat up their kids because of that, which is really sad. But then,
necessarily physically. We say beat up.
I don't mean beat up physically. I mean beat up figuratively speaking.
Yeah.
And then there's of course the parents who, because of personal bias, can never. It's hard. It's hard to be told that your child is not behaving. It's hard to receive criticism. And they're just not honest. They're not honest with themselves. And in that particular example, I know this is not a topic, but in that particular example, I will tell you that in my experience, I did a lot of good things as a principal, as an educator, and helped a lot of children. But the truth is the successes that I had was always, almost always, when parents worked with me, which means they had a degree of honesty. You understand? Yes, I understand. Let's work together. I tried to be respectful to them. They respect. We became on one team because there was a degree of honesty, and we said how we can work. How can we work this out together? How can we make progress, but together as a team? But the reason that happens is because, I mean, at a very fundamental level, there's a concept of personal bias. The Talmud has a very interesting expression. It's called Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo, which means a person is related to themselves. And just like we have in Talmudic law, where you can't call a witness, for example, someone who's related to the defendant or whatever the case is, because people are related, and therefore they're blinded by their love or by their relationship or by their hate, for that matter, right? And so on and so forth. So too with ourselves, we are blinded. Personal bias blinds us. And therefore, but it's an amazing psychological phenomenon, because it's not only in education, but it's true that sometimes we actually talk ourselves into narratives that are completely untrue. They're imaginary, they're delusional sometimes. About ourselves, it's about ourselves as well, about our children. There's no self-awareness, no awareness of what's going on around us, because it is a very strong thing. I think people underestimate how strong it could be. The concept of, I mean, you know, it could be like, I mean, me and you have gone to shul many years. Thank God now in our shul for many years, you've been the chazan, you've been the leader, which is, I'll tell you, you don't have to tell yourself, I'll tell you that you're very good. But sometimes people get up there and really believe they can do it, and they can't. Like, they just can't, and they've talked themselves into it. I mean, not a matter of personal preference. It's just like they can't, you know what I'm saying? And kind of, you know, most of the and speakers go the same way, and things like that. Just lack of self-awareness. Self-awareness, actually, I think it needs work, actually. But then there's the other way around. People, because they're so obsessed with having self-awareness, they always put themselves down. They actually they're not even aware when they're doing something well. So to strike that balance and to strike that truth is actually difficult. But we have personal biases, and personal biases can be very, very, can alter the way we think in a very, very strong way.
Yeah, that's great. Let's go to something totally different on a more macro level. And we have a very strict policy at BINA. We don't get involved in politics. This is not a political discussion. However, I think it is an important discussion, and I think it's important to that we. I mean, I think we I say we at the Jewish community. I think we're very honest about this. But I think, you know, we see the world today seems to be lying to itself or to others or whatever about certain fundamental things. I mean, what better example can we find what's going on in Israel now? We have all, you know, the ICC, and I can't even keep up with all the, you know, very fancy acronyms, the people who consider themselves to be extremely important and, you know, very, very fundamental world organizations, which seem to be doing a lot of damage more than anything good, you know, accusing Israel of war crimes and genocide and a whole host of things, as well as, you know, some countries recognizing a Palestinian state or this so-called two-state solution idea. You know, putting aside the fact, not putting it aside, but besides for the fact that obviously we believe that the entire land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people, it's the land that God gave to us, we've been living there for 3,000 years, this is our capital, this is our home, and therefore we shouldn't be giving away even one inch of it. Putting that aside for a moment, just, you know, the fact is, you can't create a state which any normal sane person understands is going to be a terrorist state. It's not that every single person living there is a terrorist, but there are a huge amount of people there who do support terrorism. The polls show a lot of them support Hamas. But for some reason, it's very hard for people to, like, acknowledge this, you know, for the world. I don't mean us. I mean, for the world to acknowledge. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, I mean, the same thing. I think the crazier it becomes, right? You see, there's a big switch from having two opinions versus the delusional thinking, right? You know, there's, again, we don't get political. I mean, we have our own personal views, but you know, it's not about right and left anymore. It's about craziness versus normalcy. Right. And it's scary. And the reason it's scary is because this happened before in history, and it's very easy for people to believe things. And to actually sincerely believe a narrative, and to become influenced by being told that narrative because you have a bias towards that narrative to begin with, right? So it is becoming so crazy. I mean, you talk about a two-state solution. I mean, there are different views. We have a view that Israel belongs to the Jewish people and so on, but it's not even a matter of two views anymore. You can't have a two-state solution when actually the other side doesn't even want two states. They only want one state from the river to the sea. So right. So it's a ridiculous notion. It's actually a joke. To talk about equivalence between the Prime Minister of Israel as much as you, I'm not saying he's perfect, and he probably isn't perfect, right? In the sake of honesty, but to equate him with wanting to arrest him just like you wanted to arrest Sinwar, it's not politics anymore. It's insanity. Yeah. And yet people say with a straight face, I mean, this guy really, my office looked into it and yes, and we've come to the conclusion. I mean, you got to be kidding, right? So, and yet people believe this.
It would be funny if it's not, you know.
It's comical, actually, if it wasn't true. It's actually become very, very sadly, very, very sadly comical. And it's the same sort of idea. I have to say, personally, I actually started to see this. I'm by nature a little bit of a trusting person, right?
Yeah.
Not anymore so much, but I saw this in COVID actually, where I saw how people can become fearful, how they can be sold. And I'm not getting into the pro-vaccine, anti-vaccine, I'm not getting into that now at all. But I mean, to be told things that honestly, there were things in COVID that didn't make no sense whatsoever. Like you can have gym in a park if you're 5 meters apart or 3 meters apart, whatever, from other people. But you can't pray because, I don't know, praying somehow will make you more sicker than Jim. And people really became to believe it. There were a large part that they honestly really believed this stuff because it was being fed and it was being, right? And it was actually scary for me. It was the first time because I never understood in Jewish history or in history in general how brainwashing actually worked, right? We know this before the war, that's what happened. The youth particularly were brainwashed into most extreme ways. And for the first time in my life, and I'm not that young anymore, when COVID wasn't that long ago, I actually saw it happening. I mean, it wasn't such a, we made through it and it wasn't life-threatening and so on, but it was insane, some of it, right? I hope the world learns from it. And then this goes into this thing, which is much more problematic, where people actually are really, some people are believing it because they don't even know what they're believing. Like there's these funny polls that people go around and ask university students what they're actually marching for, and they're actually not sure.
What's that? Which river and which sea there is?
No idea. There is a river. There is a sea. They don't know what they're talking about. Okay. But then there are people that actually really believe this stuff, right? And
do you think, let me interrupt you for a second. Do you think that by some people, it may be a bad conclusion, but it's not actually coming from necessarily a bad place. It's coming from a deceptive place in the sense that certain people want to just everything to be great and, believe that everyone's wonderful. And if only you just sat at the same table and spoke together, there will be peace tomorrow, and everyone, is there certain...
Okay, but it's the same. Yeah, that's true, but it's the same bias. In other words, you have a bias, and then you just believe everything into that bias. There's no self-critical thinking, there's no self-awareness, there's no questioning, there's no, like, let's look at the facts, let's look at the, let's look at objectivity, essentially, right? And it's hard to be objective with yourself. I mean, that is true, right? That's what we have to learn, and we have to be educated, and we have to think. Now, it's interesting because in Judaism we do have this concept of, I'm going to call it, I don't like the term, but let's call it blind faith, right? Yeah. But actually, blind faith is very different. It's blind faith to something higher than ourselves, right? It's something. It's actually emunah. The concept of emunah is believing even when it's difficult for ourselves to believe it. When we see complete insanity, it's not about believing in something that's difficult for us to believe, but we believe it because it's something, we know that it's something beyond our limitations, beyond ourselves. But when you start believing because you really want to believe it, and that's why you're just sort of making up stories, and you're believing in delusional stuff, that's crazy. And yet it happens, and it's really seriously, and it's serious. I mean, it's like scary. But it's important to point it out, and it's important to talk about it. It's important to be aware of it, actually. Right. If I can just take it back, it's important to be aware of a number of levels. First of all, it's important to be aware because of our own confidence, because we can start questioning ourselves, which is like crazy. I mean, if I know I'm completely sober, and 25 people tell me that I'm drunk, I'm going to question myself. Maybe I'm not sober. You know what I'm saying? Even if I never drink for 3 days, right? That's just the way it works, right? And you start believing. We know this in gaslighting, and we know this in relationships, this happens. Another, for example, in domestic abuse, when people tell, you know, when a, I mean, I'll use male and female because it's just more common amongst males to be abusive. But no, I don't mean it's common for males to be abusive. I mean, abusive relationships are more common in the male sphere, right? And they start putting down other people and telling them it's all their fault. After a while, people start to question themselves, right?
Yeah.
Because that's a real problem. So we can do the same thing when we hear things that are completely insane. It is. I mean, I had someone a couple of weeks ago who a Jewish person, a Zionistic person, loves Israel and so on, but just not very, I guess, not so aware of the facts, and started to say, well, maybe they're right. I said, well, you need to educate yourself a little bit, right? You'll see how insane it is, not about being right, right? But also, it's important to understand this concept exists, because then you can start to apply it to yourself, like to see how self-bias can really be damaging, and to start working on the concept of self-awareness. And I'm talking a lot, but can I share with you an unbelievable piece of the Talmud?
Yeah, no, please.
So there's an amazing Talmud. It's a piece of the Talmud about the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, right? Now, you know, this year is a Jewish leap year, right? So now we have a system. We know exactly which years are going to be leap year, but it wasn't always that way. It used to be in the times of the temple when they made the calendar on a month-by-month basis. They would decide each year if they were going to make it a leap year or not, which means there was going to be an additional month of Adar. That was the way it was done, right? Now, one of the people who's not permitted to sit on the committee to decide is the high priest, even though the high priest is very, very, it's a very holy man, right? These people were very, very great. Why wasn't he from a... It sounds almost comical, but it shows you how deep this thing is. Because when you make a leap year, then 7 months later, you're going to have Yom Kippur, and in the Northern Hemisphere, Yom Kippur will be more in the winter, right? It'll be colder. Now, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was the representative of the Jewish people, and he had to go to mikveh 5 times during the day, right? In those days, there weren't heating mechanisms to make sure the mikvahs are warm like we have today, right? It was just cold mikvahs. So we worried that the Kohen Gadol might advocate that there shouldn't be a leap year to make sure Yom Kippur is more in the summer still, so that the mikveh shouldn't be so cold, it shouldn't be so difficult for him to go into the mikveh. Now, I'm pretty sure that a normal Kohen Gadol sitting like in Pesach time or before Pesach, he's not thinking ahead 7 months to Yom Kippur and the mikvahs. You know what I'm saying? This is a guy.
If he worked for dinner, maybe he did. We tend to plan things, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a very self-serving thing almost, right? And yet we're worried that there's a bit of self-interest there, because he might even not recognize it. That's the point. He might even not understand that he's doing that. But maybe it might have some self-bias. That just goes to show you how deep self-bias can actually become, and how we can actually talk ourselves into things, right?
Sure.
So the idea of being self-aware and honest is not our default position. Our default position actually is that we are related to ourselves, and we're not so self-aware and not so honest. And we could very quickly cover up and sort of talk ourselves into a reality and a narrative that's actually not true. We have to work at being self-aware.
Yeah. What other areas do you think people lie to themselves about in your experience?
Well, it's not other people. I mean, ourselves also. I mean, you know, the whole thing of, you know, we have a principle in Judaism of tshuva, right? You got to grow. So you got to grow means you have to recognize the mistakes that you've made, and then not be beaten up from it, but to learn from it and regret them, and to actually return to God or prepare, repent, whatever translation you want to use, right? We know that part of that has to be preceded by something we call in Judaism a cheshbon tzedek, an honest reflection, an honest assessment of ourselves. Mm. And we're not supposed to walk around all day analyzing ourselves, but we have to have certain times where we actually try to look inward and we are honest about ourselves. And we are taught that when we are honest about ourselves, it has to be both ways. We have to be honest about the things that we've done well, our successes, our spiritual successes, and the things that we haven't done well and the mistakes that we've made, and to be really honest, do an inventory. And it takes work. It takes a lot of thinking, a lot of reflection. And sometimes we're actually not even able to do it ourselves. That's why we need to sometimes, you know, Pirkei Avot, we've mentioned it many times, that the ethics of the fathers tells us that we have to make a mentor for ourselves. we actually, why we have to, you know what, a mentor doesn't have to mean someone that's so much smarter than me or knows so much more than me. The main thing about having a mentor is that it's just not me. Someone I can trust to be honest with me.
Yeah. No, for sure. It's so important to go outside of yourself. What do you think is a more prevalent problem today? People who are too hard on themselves or people who are too easy on themselves?
So I think it's becoming more, it's a very interesting question. I think we're going in towards a society where people are much more or too accepting of themselves. Now, what I mean to accepting themselves, let me just clarify before this podcast gets shut down. Intrinsic acceptance of self is a good thing. What I mean is we all have a neshama, we all have potential, we all have a soul, we have intrinsic value, we're intrinsically good, not intrinsically bad. Our deep core identity is a good one and a pure one and a soulful one and a godly one. But that's not what people mean when they say accept ourselves, right? But nowadays we've gone very, very strongly to the, you know, don't judge me and don't judge yourself and you're okay the way you are. And sometimes use the expression, I'm enough and I'm not enough. That's not true. We can always grow. We should grow. I think people are scared that if they're too honest with themselves, they're going to identify themselves as being bad or put themselves down and be depressed and not able to function, which is, of course, all not true. We are not perfect people. We do make mistakes and we're supposed to recognize them. But we have such this. There's a verse in Tanakh that says, "Kol pshaim techaseh ahava," that sometimes we cover up our sins because of self-love, right? Self-love is not such a good thing sometimes. It depends what you're loving. right? On the conscious level, we are not perfect and we shouldn't love those imperfections. We shouldn't define ourselves as being bad just because we make mistakes. Make mistakes is part of the human experience. But we need to be more honest with ourselves. And today there's such an emphasis on don't judge me and don't judge myself. And you know, so that people have become so fragile that it's difficult for them to take any criticism. It's difficult to really assess themselves properly. And that's a problem. And I think it's difficult for people to hear something that they don't agree with or they weren't thinking or it's not in their sort of context or paradigm or narrative, whatever the case is. And you land up at an extreme level that collectively is part of the, it contributes to why we land up with such people believing such insanity on a collective level.
Yeah. All right. I think one of the ways we stay honest is, as you said, through learning. I think learning, when you learn, especially when we're talking about learning Torah, that challenges you in and of itself. You learn things that you may not be doing yet. You learn deeper things you may not have known yet. And that makes sure that you grow, that you continue to grow.
You know, I think you're making a really important point. And you used the word challenge there. So first of all, I agree with you. Learning is incredibly important. The more you learn about clarity and moral clarity and values and right and wrong, the more you're able to be more honest with yourself. But, you know, also, I think the word challenge is a really good word because I think people confuse challenging oneself with beating oneself up, right? We know negative guilt is not productive, but challenging oneself is. And that's so different. I mean, we could talk about, that's a different podcast maybe, to talk about healthy guilt and negative guilt. I think we have touched on it before. But I think in the context of this discussion, it's a very critical difference between challenging ourselves and beating ourselves up. Challenging ourselves is healthy. We should challenge ourselves because we have really greater potential. We all have much more potential than we do, than we express. Because we've got a soul, and that soul is godly, and it's got infinite potential. And I don't mean potential that, you know, that I can become a Mozart, because I can't, because I'm not that musical, right? So we all have to know. It's also good to know our limitations sometimes, part of self-awareness. But we can become better people. We can become better character. We can do much more than we think we can in a real way, in an authentic way. So yeah, challenging oneself is good. That's a great, but beating ourselves up is not good.
Excellent. All right. Thank you everyone for watching and listening.
Great. And have a good day.
Hey,
all the best. Have a good day.